Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 11, 2019. Is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can text my cell phone first and then call, and then I'll call you back because I get all those listeners like I'm sure a lot of you other people are getting. 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on some YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. It's not free, and your donations keep us on the air. On another note, let's look at our listener base in places like, thank you anyway, to Copenhagen, Denmark, Auckland, New Zealand, Cape Town, South Africa, Madrid, Spain, and, of course, cities in the United States, such as Buffalo, New York, Seattle, Washington, Arlington, Texas, Fresno, California, and Wichita, Kansas. It remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to the podcast later on tonight. So special hello to you folks out there in Wichita. Drop by the Wichita Mission Church and say hello. Now, please follow and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent. 77. Now, folks, normally we'll get that after the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. What I was going to say is normally... Well, first, we had a guest that was supposed to be on tonight, and he was really sick. Well, then, my wife's normally in this position, and so instead of my wife, because she's gone to the food bank, she's going to be with us in the second program. That's what I wanted to tell you. But we have somebody on tonight that you folks all like very well, and he's always good for a good discussion with me. And so I'm going to bring on Frank Stephan. Are you with me, Frank, of course?
I am.
You are.
I had to turn my dial up here so you could hear me, but yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Where else would I be?
Where else would I be, Dan?
Well, I wondered for a split second because, you know, it was a little bit of silence, which is totally unlike you.
Uh-huh.
But anyway... Moving right along. Okay, let me open with this little thing. It's basically a headline, and it should be in your ballpark. And we may have talked about this before, but it's just something that hit me. And this is why I thought, well, you know, I was going to do this myself, but then I thought, well, this is a real good topic for Frank in your neighborhood. Anyway, liberal cities across America are collapsing into third world status, including Seattle. And all thanks to liberal policies. It seems like Seattle is now facing the far-left policies that it looked like in reality which the rest of America's liberal cities' results aren't very pretty. In other words, they're falling apart with homelessness, drug addiction, and everything. And that's Seattle. I know you're not in Seattle, but you're pretty close. So what's going on up there? What do you think?
Well, I don't know what's going on in Seattle, okay, because I haven't been in,
right.
I haven't been to Seattle in 35 years. But I was just on December 11th up in Portland, Oregon, which is really in the neighborhood of Seattle, and in its own right is a city, too. Not just a very big city, but it's a city. You know, it's maybe a million, right. 1.2 million people, something like that. It's a little city, but it's a city. And I was up there for a day to go to tax court. And Portland, Oregon is a filthy. Now, I'll tell you one thing. There is a lot of construction going on in Portland.
Right.
There are huge cranes all over the town, okay? However, the city itself is filthy. I mean, it is, when you look, okay, like when you're out on the street, right?
Right.
You look on the street and you go, okay, there's the pavement, and then over on the side there's the little curb and then the sidewalk, right?
Yeah.
Well, in that curb spot up to the sidewalk, all through Portland, is garbage, okay? Garbage, nasty garbage, all in the streets, all on the sidewalk. You got homeless people in the middle of the middle of the town, like one block from the tax court, okay, which is the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon. You got people sleeping under tarps in doorways, okay, and there's this stench throughout the whole city. It smells bad, okay? It looks bad. It looks filthy. You got homeless people all over the streets, and I mean sleeping, you know, just camped out. And look, I'm very, very sympathetic towards homelessness.
Right.
But never in my 7 years of living out on the street would have I considered, unless, of course, maybe if I was really super drunk or something, I might have just passed out there or something, but I would have never considered, oh, yeah, here, this doorway in the middle of downtown, this is the place that I'm going to set up my camp. I mean, I would have never thought to do something
right.
like that. But they do now in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon is a communist city, and it is falling down. Now, they'll point to, oh, but look at all the construction. Yeah, look at all the construction. Meanwhile, see, this is the communist way, and it seems to be the American way also.
Quickly becoming that.
Just build new. Just build new. Build new. Just keep building new. Building new. Just build, 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 because that's growth. That's good. That's, well, okay. But we've got 200-and-something years of a nation here. We've already built a lot of stuff. What about that? Ah, forget about that. Just build new stuff. But what about maintaining the old stuff? Nah, we don't want any part of that. We'll just build new stuff. And that's what we do, and that's what the communist way is, just build new stuff to give the illusion of progress, okay? And it is just an illusion of progress, is if you're building new stuff while you're letting the old stuff crumble and fail.
Right, right.
And that's what I saw.
And let's go with this. And on the subject of you're saying build new stuff, well, that's exactly what they're doing with the population, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The old population isn't any good anymore because it's fading away and waking up to a certain point, so they just want to incorporate a new population. Here's another headline, and I'm real surprised at this one. You know, now, of course, the New York Times is a leftist newspaper. You agree with me?
What?
The New York Times.
Don't say it ain't so. Of course I agree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe some of the people out there don't. You know, I just want to, you know, out of two witnesses, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Well, you know what? If anybody out there didn't know that, I'll give you some advice. Okay, that underwear shouldn't be around your head, okay? So pull your head out of where the underwear ought to be and pay attention.
I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh at that, right? Okay. Anyway, I'm going to try and have a straight face for this. Don't say anything funny for a minute.
All right.
Okay. The headline is, and this really kind of really surprised me, and this is a turning point. From no crisis to breaking point, the mainstream media changes its tune on border crisis amid illegal immigration surge. Months after repeatedly dismissing and mocking President Trump's claim of a national emergency at the southern border, the mainstream media is grappling with reality, no less than the New York Times declaring the border crisis is at a breaking point. Wow, I'm so shocked.
Well, you know, I mean, okay, look, you can lie for so long, right?
Right.
And the thing is, you know, no matter how obvious the lie is, some people are going to fall for it because they don't pay attention. They just
right.
hear and go, oh, okay, and that's that, and they don't look any further than that. But the thing about lying is when you do it for so long, okay, eventually people are going to start realizing you're lying, okay?
Right.
I mean, Dan, you could go out and tell everybody that you're a millionaire and you live in a mansion. And you could tell them that for years, but the minute they show up at your house, they're going to know you're lying.
Right.
You know, and you know, and the thing is, this is what's gone on with the New York Times. Yeah, I don't. There's no crisis. Well, I'm sorry, there is a crisis. I mean, and everybody can see that. And you know, they can only lie so much. You know, they still want to stay. Bezos wants them to stay in business so they can keep lying. You know,
right.
if they get too upside down in lying to where everybody goes, oh, my gosh, these guys are just liars. Look at this. Of course there's a crisis. It's so obvious. It's right there. We can see it with our own eyes. Well, they got to come on. And I'll tell you what. I got a friend who is a co-host on Monday nights. He's a,
right.
he's a journalist in New York City, independent journalist.
Oh, really?
And he gets to, you know, he gets to go to all these things with other journalists, you know, from – you know, like publications like Newsday, okay,
right.
and other pub, the Post, and other you know, professional paid journalists, and
right.
he got to talking to them, and he's like, "Look," and he asked a question a lot of us would ask: why is it that it seems like every major story is broken by some independent news source? And then eventually picked up by the mainstream. What's with that?
Good point.
Because you guys got, you know, and he said, man, you guys got, you know, a million times more resources than most independents do. What's the deal? And they told him, you know, because these are people sitting around sharing a few drinks as equals, and they generally tell the truth to each other.
Sure.
Generally.
Yeah.
With some exaggeration, I'm sure.
However, with a lot of exaggeration,
well,
but I get
and
it. Good old boys in the bar.
And some alcoholic, you know, distortions, too. You're going to have that. Because
right.
journalists are known alcoholics, okay? That's just a fact, okay? And that doesn't mean every journalist is an alcoholic. It just means a large percentage of journalists are hardcore alcoholics. They drink all the time, all day. So their brains are kind of pickled anyway. But thing is, what he told them, he said, look, it's not that we don't find and investigate and write these stories. It's that when we give them to our editor, they won't print them. And the only time they will print them is after an independent news agency basically scoops it, puts it out there, and then we'll pump out our story because, you know, now we kind of have to. But they don't publish stories unless they have to. All right? And when they have to is when an independent news service somehow, anybody, could be you, could
right.
be me, could be Breitbart, could be anybody. When they break a story, now the mainstream has to say, oh, yeah, us too. We're going to report on this too. And then they try to start spinning things. But they won't report it first because they don't want you to know about it. So if you want to know the value of places like ABRN and other mm-hmm. and other you know, all the other, everybody out there, I don't care if you've even got a website, but if you're out there investigating and you find something out and you figure out a way to publish it somewhere, give it to somebody who can, I'm talking about you too. How important, because it seems a lot of the times that, well, you know, you don't have the pull, you don't have the million audience, you don't have this, you don't have that, you're just not making an impact, blah, blah, blah. Well, you are making an impact because, you see, it isn't just the millions of people out there, you know, looking for news and stuff. It is the professional journalists. It is the publishers and the editors that listen to you and go to your websites and see what you're doing, see what you're finding. And when you do find something, they will have to follow. They have to stay in business, you know, to stay in business. They have to, because if they don't, people will eventually start asking, hey, why is it these guys never cover any stories, you know?
Well, you know. I want to throw something into this one, because it's kind of in a sense it used to make me mad, but it doesn't anymore. I came around to a different way of thinking about it. But I can't count how many times, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you a for instance. You know, Huma Abedin, you know, Hillary's girl or whatever you want to call her, aide.
Pal.
Yeah, well, you remember, of course, her old man, Anthony Weiner, and I've got, when that story about Anthony Weiner first broke, it didn't break. And then they talked about Huma, but then they didn't go into the particulars of her background. Well, I had not one, but two different people. Well, actually, ended up being three people came on this program, and we talked about it, and nobody else would touch that story. And then, boom, all of a sudden, you know, some other people started picking it up. You know what I mean? But, and then I see that happen over and over. We'll talk about something and nobody else is talking about it. And then the week later, boom, it's all over the places and they never quote the source. But you know, because some of the things you give out in the program is nowhere else that they picked it up. They had to got it from you.
Yep.
And they give no credit. And do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it happens a lot. As a matter of fact, I noticed it with a particular publication, and I haven't checked in a while. And I take it as a compliment myself. I never did really get angry about it. I always thought it was great. Great, I'm having an impact. That's what I want. I want to have an impact. I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be any of those things. I just want to have an impact. So
right. When
I saw that, oh, hey, I am in a certain way having an impact, I thought, great. You know, okay, fine. You know, hey, being rich and being famous would be fun, but I'm not chasing that, and I don't care about it that much. So, you know,
right.
this is what I want. I want to make an impact. And I noticed that you might have heard of this publication, WorldNet Daily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wasn't going to name names, especially since, but I do take it as a compliment, and that's one of the news sources that I'm talking about,
well,
and they've been doing it for many years.
If I can provide a lead to other assimilated publications, you know, that have more. You know, more people in their influence, okay? That's great. I'm all for that. You know, I don't care. I'll provide leads if I can. You know, that's great. I don't mind. I really don't mind. It was kind of weird at first to see it because I thought I might have been imagining it at first. But,
yeah.
But it kept happening, and I'm like, now, okay, I don't think I'm imagining this, but this is really cool. But, wow, okay, so, you know, because you go through – I don't want to call it a phase necessarily, but you go through times of doing this where you really question, am I having any effect? Am I, you know, is this any value at all to anybody? And then you notice things like that and you go, wow, okay. Even if you don't hear it, like say you don't hear it on the Frank Report,
right. But
WorldNet Daily or some other publication heard the Frank Report and said, let's look into that. And they look
right.
into it, and then they write their own story, or they do their own broadcast, or they do whatever, and millions of people hear it. What's wrong with that? I'm all for that. I think that's great.
Well, and it is, and I have no problem with it. This is just what I want to say about it. You know, with me, though, I do try to, where I pick up stories, I try to give, you know, a little bit of thing and say, hey, well, you know, this came from the New York Times or someplace, you know, or that's where I don't have a problem as much not mentioning big news sources, because everybody does it. Everybody goes out and looks for news sources. I get it. But I think we should be more, especially when it's an independent people. There's where my problem kind of is with independent newspapers like, you know, news publications like World Net Daily. And great, I love World Net Daily, and for years, I had practically every one of their authors on this radio program more than once. And you know that, of course.
I do.
But let's go with this. But for the little guy, because they are an independent newspaper, you know, it wouldn't hurt to help us out a little bit and say, hey, well, you know, we heard some of this, you know, on the Prophecy Hour or on the Frank Report. You know, a little mention or a little shout out would go a long ways for us as far as bringing us more listeners.
Well, that's true, but you got to understand these guys are for profit, and, you know, they got to keep the lights on too, and they sadly view you and me and everybody else that, you know, they view us as competition.
Right.
And they view that if they mention anybody, that will be one viewer or one visitor or one listener or whatever it is,
yes,
less for them and one for you. And they don't want that, see? And I get that. And I get the reasoning there. And in a way, it's true. You know, in a way, it's true. Because if you're listening to the Frank Report, you can't be listening to something else.
Right.
You know, if you're
right.
reading something Dan wrote, you're not reading something somebody else wrote. And so,
right.
to an extent, that's true, okay? We all are competing for audience. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
You know, but we're really, it would be better, I think, and I'm not, you know, it's not a big issue to me, but I think it would be better if we all worked better together where we have an opportunity to do so. Meaning, I don't think we should force ourselves to work together or work with certain publications. Look, there are Patriot publications out there that I wouldn't have anything to do with, okay?
Sure.
I just don't like them. I don't trust them. I think they're liars, and I won't have anything to do with them, okay? But there's lots of people in the Patriot community. Listen to them. They listen to me. They listen to you, okay?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't work with them. So that's why I say, you know, look, if you can, we should work with together when we can. You know, and we're not always going to be able to, because there is that certain amount of competition there that is real. So sometimes we're going to have to say, no.
I got to break in. We got to work together on this. We go to break like right now.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I'm supposed to.
Oh, man. Pastor Dan will be right back.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of all Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. So if you're one who puts your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for He's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in Him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that He's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Ephesus, the capital of Western Asia Minor, was best known for its Temple of Diana. In the book of Acts, we read that the Apostle Paul had persuaded many people, not only of Ephesus but all throughout Asia, that the gods and goddesses they were worshiping were, as the Bible states, no gods. Those involved with the worship of these false gods, concerned that their livelihood was in danger, were full of wrath and began to cry out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." We're told that the whole city was filled with confusion. Today there are many whose livelihood depends on the propagation of pagan tradition by pretending that it is in honor of Christ. These teachers, knowing full well that Easter is the name of a pagan fertility goddess, that December 25th is the birth date of the sun god, and that Sunday is not the Sabbath day, cry out just as in Ephesus when they are challenged to tell the truth. The things that they teach when confronted with the truth causes confusion, revealing that they are not of God, for He is not the author of confusion. The Bible plainly warns of these vain talkers and deceivers who teach things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. We are told that these men are identified by their teachings of the commandments of men that turn away from the truth, and that they should be sharply rebuked that they may be sound in the faith. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, this is the part of the program where I'm going to give a little plug for our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, we're really important to a lot of people over there. In fact, we're even legendary. I mean, they call us a legend. I'm not trying to brag. For one, it's kind of hard to talk about what you do when, on one hand, your hands tied because you don't want to brag about anything. But, you know, we still need to tell you so you know. So anyway, here it is, reluctantly. Anyway, even people like the police department, you know, say that when they, I've met them even recently, and they said, hey, you guys are a legend out there on the street because of all the things you do. Well, that's because we've been consistently doing it over and over and over. And now we're in our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year in June. And you know how that happens? Messiah's Branch is just our mission church, our ministry. Our church is just a home church with a building. Now, we are not rich by any means. And you believe me, my wife and I devote most of night. We're in the ministry 24/7, just like she says. Anyway, but the point is that we really do need your help. You folks are the ones that's kept us going all this time. And now as it creeps on towards summer, when school gets out, boy, I love summertime. Don't you guys love the warmer weather? Well, when it gets summer, for those 2 or 3 months through the summer, when school's out, our donations drop. But the point is we really need your help right now. We really, really do need your help. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We are the last hope for so many people. People walk in the door and they look around and they have, a look of despair on their face because they need something and they can't find it anywhere. Maybe they didn't qualify for a program, and a lot of programs and things that I've seen, it's the agencies themselves that sent the people to us, and they have millions of dollars in their budget. We don't have a budget. That's the point. People say, well, how do you spend? We spend down to nothing in our pocket, you know. It's like now, the account has about $20 or $30 in it. I haven't looked today, but no donations have came in today, so about $20 or $30. And you know what? Tomorrow, by faith, I've got to go to Wichita, Kansas. I'm going to serve people sandwiches from 1 to 3 p.m. At 4:30, I'm going to cook them a regular meal. And that's all by faith because I'm $37 with gas prices going up. Won't pay the gas, the 120-mile round trip to Wichita and back to take care of the people. But I'm going to go anyway, and I will go. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And, you know, I do stumble around on asking for donations, but pray about it. I can't compete with all these big ministries that say things like, oh, become a partner. What's that mean, become a partner? You know, to me, that just sounds like a con. You can partner with the Father. It doesn't matter. Here's the point. You just pray about it, and if you feel led to, make a donation. We can use the funds because, you know, we're trying to take care of the people, and we do take care of the people. We do it hands-on. Anyway, all donations, folks, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Now, when you go to prophecyhour.com, I made it easier for you folks. I wrote a little thing right below the logo that tells you that you can make a donation by clicking there, or you click on the lion on the side there, and you can make a donation. It's really easy. Or you can scroll down, and you can find a way to mail it in if that's what you want. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, you enjoy these radio programs, and believe me, I have to pay radio airtime. I have to also pay electricity and all that, so make a donation for radio. And somebody asked me about the equipment in the office. You know, we did get a computer replaced, and we got the board replaced, but we have somebody that is supposed to be working on some of the other things we need, like a digital copier, but I haven't heard back from them for a while. So if you think you can help, we could use it. But we also need somebody. We've got a couple of websites that we need help with, a WordPress website that I really need some help with updating. And so if you can do that kind of thing for me, if you're a whiz at it, get a hold of me and help me out here. Anyway, so let's get back to program. I hate talking about money. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682 or text me at my other phone number, 316-619-4886. And now we're back talking with Frank Stephan, which is the producer of this program. He's also the founder of American Voice Radio, and he has his own program called The Frank Report. So I know you're sitting right there, aren't you, Frank?
I am.
You are. Okay. Well, we were talking about media before we left, but the subject matter of what that media report was talking about the mainstream media now changing its tune. Now, about illegal immigration, you know, and I believe, and we was talking about liberal cities becoming, you know, disaster places, and even Wichita, I'll say that, Wichita, Kansas turned into a sanctuary city, and the homeless now, they're even behaving different, because they didn't used to sleep in doorways, they didn't used to trash up different places, but now the agencies, they're starting to trash up around the agencies, and they're just starting to be like those things that you see in other cities where they never did it before. Now, it just makes me wonder, is that because of it's changed to liberals running this city or what? And second thing, which I want to get into, I do want to talk about the border crisis, but back to you. What do you think? Why is it changing like that?
Well, because it's not the police are not enforcing it because they're being told by the communists not to. Let them pee on the streets. Let them crap on the sidewalk. Let them set up their tent in somebody's doorway. Let them do that. Leave them alone. You know, they're potential socialist, voters out there. Because when we walk by and give them a crumb and say, hey, I'm a Democrat, vote Democrat, you know, that's what. You know, these people are easy. They're easy targets. All you have to do is give them almost nothing. And that's what they figure will buy their loyalty to vote for them. And in a lot of cases, it does. What do they care? You know, I live in a dumpster. What do I care who's running things? Fine. You want to give me $10? I'll vote for you. That's why right. They want them there. That's why they want them the way they are. And the reason it's just going worse is because the police are not enforcing the law because they've been told not to. Thing is, people didn't use to pick. I never camp, like I said, I never even thought about camping out in a doorway, and it's not because that right. would have been a better place for me to be. It would have been because I would have been arrested. Okay?
Wow.
I didn't want to get arrested, so I didn't do that.
Let's go. I got something to add to this. I know, and I won't say who, because, you know, I don't want, I've got a friend that's a police officer, you know.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. He's one of the best guys I know. He really is. He's a regular Joe. And, you know, in fact, I told this guy, I said, you renewed my faith in humanity because he's a working hard guy and he's great. He is just like you and me and he's just doing his job. What he told me in Wichita, he goes over there to work. He's been working, I don't want to get too much detail about him, but anyway, works in Wichita, police officer, been there almost to retirement now. Well, talking about the major place where the agency, where the homeless are supposed to go in the daytime. Now, this is one of the trash places like you wouldn't believe. And there's all kinds of things going on in this huge parking lot. I mean, there's people getting raped and robbed and all kinds of things. And that's why the people, you know, people want to escape there. They come down to our place to be safe, right? Okay, but I said, so why aren't they doing anything about it? He says, you know what? He says, the people that run that place told us that we had no business there, and that they didn't even want to allow us in to come and get somebody that was dangerous. So basically, the police decided that, well, okay, if they're chasing somebody and once they get there, they just leave them alone. You know, they say, okay, they made it to home base. And so they leave them alone until they leave or whatever, you know. And
see, to me, that's an unacceptable excuse because, you know what? Let's just say Dan's over at my house and he just robbed the bank, right? And he came over to my house to hide.
Now, we're not
and the
talking
cops
about.
And the cops show up at my door and I go, yo, listen, you got no business here. Get on out of here. Oh, yeah, that works, right? No, it doesn't work.
Right. I get what you're saying. But and number one, if it was somebody that was dangerous, they would go in no matter what. But the point is that that's their orders. This is the rank and file that's told, okay, they don't want you there, so don't go over there. You know what I'm saying? Unless they specifically call you.
All right. Well, then in that case, I want to make.
So that they're being told to stand down both by the people that run the place and by the people that they're by.
Okay.
And so they feel real helpless.
Well, that's great because you know what? If that's the policy, then I want to put out a public statement right now that I do not want any police, any ambulance, any firemen, or anybody else from the government or attached to the government in any way at my house at any time for any reason. Now, there you go. I don't want you here, so stay away. I just, you know, because if that's the way it is, I'm all for that. I really am. You know, and
well, these guys, man.
I'm sorry, Dan. I've been to too many missions. And the reason I really like your mission is because you're different than a lot of missions, okay? And that's not to say there's not good missions out there, but there are a lot of horrible, horrible missions run by terrible, terrible people, okay, throughout this country. And, you know, that's just a fact, okay? That's just a fact. That's the way it is. And that's the thing, folks, you really should look at the Messiah's Branch because these are the good guys, okay? No, and,
you know,
and all missions are not the same.
We rarely ever have a police officer in our place unless, you know, there's been about there's been several times we actually had to call them. Like, I had a crazy Indian in the parking lot jumping up and down with a big butcher knife, and I thought, well, no, I don't want to, do I want to fight? No, I don't want to do that. So, you know, in that instance, it was easier to call the police and have them. Then I didn't want to deal with a drunken Indian with a butcher knife. But my point is though, but then the police also. So when they came, that's what they said. He says, you know, you guys are like you're not even here. You're a homeless outreach. You're not like you're never here because we don't have to come down here. We don't have any call. You know what I'm saying? Because we keep it clean. But back to the other, my point is they're allowing the people, and it goes back to what you were originally saying, the liberal people are allowing this thing to go on. You know what I mean? The mess that's outside, and it's not acceptable, people being raped in a parking lot.
No.
It's not acceptable, people being beat up in a parking lot, hurt in a parking lot. It's just not acceptable. And so the police would like to police that just, you know, to make people safe. Homeless people deserve to be safe, too. But they're told to stand down because the liberal people that are in charge are telling them to stand down, not only for probably the reasons that you stated, but also because the place inside doesn't want them to be there. Now, you know, so it still goes back to the same thing. I see evidence of the powers that be allowing this garbage to happen.
Absolutely.
Now, and so that was my real point. And I know it's a back and forth, you know. So anyway.
Oh, I totally agree with you that is, you know, and I don't doubt your cop friend that that's exactly what's going on. But, you know, the only reason these people at the mission, the liberal, you know, commies running that mission that don't want the police around, now, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I personally, when I was homeless, I didn't care if the police were around in general. I didn't trust the police. I didn't like the police because the police always harassed me because I had a duffel bag that I would carry around on my back. And the same goes for a backpack or whatever else. You don't have to have a duffel bag. And I got harassed constantly by these police. So I didn't like them at all. But I wasn't worried about, you know, but there are people who have wants and warrants that go to homeless missions, and they don't like seeing police. So I understand the thing, but if the police have a legitimate purpose
reason
there, like, oh, somebody's getting beat up or raped in the parking lot, well, I'm sorry, I don't care what you think. You know, I'm here to stop that.
Right.
And if you get in my way, I'll arrest you. You know, and really that ought to be the thing. However, what if the cop's little radio goes, hey, officer friendly, stand down.
Yeah.
Then what? See, you got to take that order.
Right.
Because the police have militarized themselves. They have a chain of command. You got to do what the guy above you. Just like all you that have jobs and a boss. Yeah, just like you got to do what your boss says, right? So do they, or they lose their job, just like you.
Well, right, and let's go with this, too. And here's another major point, a contention that's always been that way. Now, you know, listen, in Wichita, you know, I've been dealing with this for 19 years, you know what I'm saying? So I really do know what's going on, because I hear it from the people firsthand. If something goes on, they come and tell Pastor Dan, you know what I mean? And so I know what's going on in the city. And then, secondly, I also, you know, I converse with the police, whatever, in the agencies. I do know what's going on. Now, I've withdrawn myself from messing with the agencies in the last probably 6 or 7 years because of just various things. But my point is this, is here they tell the city council, tells the police, now you need to go out here and you need to, we're having a celebration, the River Festival, you know, and it goes on for over a week. And this is just
clear one out example.
Yeah, clear them out, pick up their stuff and throw it away. Tell them to move on, move on, move on. But the police get really upset over that. They hate that time of year because of one reason. The homeless, logically, most of them, turn around and ask, well, where do you want us to move on to? Guess what?
They don't have an answer.
There ain't no place. And so it really puts them in a bad position. And like now, you know, my friend has on his phone, he's got a countdown clock to how many hours before he gets to retire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't blame
him. You showed it to me the other day, and he can't stand it because of the garbage that's going on. But anyway, I wanted to get to this real quick, and it's still along the same line because, you know, it's became a sanctuary city. Now, the influx, we were talking about the border, and now it's being just crazy, 100,000 people coming over in a month or more. Well, now I came up with this article. It says Trump declares war at border, and he seeks a battlefield commander. It says President Donald Trump wants a battlefield commander who will take the fight to the border and won't be slowed down by congressional bickering. And this was said by a senior Trump administration aide and a veteran Washington reporter. Now, I looked up the quote. Yeah, he is looking for somebody to do that. Do you think they're going to be able to all-out stop it, or what do you think about it? I mean, there's over 150,000 coming in a month.
Well, it depends who he picks and what resources that individual will have. I mean, okay, look, if you told me, well, hey, this is your new job, okay, well, what do I get to do? You know, what do I get to use? Well, you have the full authority of the whole, you know, what do they call it, Northern Command of the U.S. military, you know, the ones that are here in our country, you know, the standing army we're not supposed to have, them?
Right.
Yeah, them. You got the full command of that. Well, yeah, if somebody gave me that job and told me I have all those resources, you bet I could shut it down. Oh, yeah, heck yeah, I could stop this. I don't need a wall. You give me the United States military, and I'll shut that border down without a wall.
Right.
And I know
right.
There's got to be commanders out there that could accomplish that better than I could.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure I could. And I know they're trained in this sort of thing, so they should be able to also. But you've got to get somebody willing to do it. And you know what? Hey, I don't care. Call me a murderer, call me a racist, call me whatever you want, but I'm shutting this border. You know,
right.
And you got to have somebody with that attitude. And I don't know if there's anybody like that in Washington, D.C., because that place just seems to be nothing but a pit of evil.
Right. You know, and it's like this. A lot of people complain about Donald Trump not fulfilling through on some promises, although he has really, you know, did a lot. The point being is I've seen him. That's why he changes people all the time, because he gets these people in and they act like they're going to do something and they won't do anything.
Right.
You know, and they just won't do their job. And so, you know, that's our biggest prayer. Well, we should all pray for our president. We should be praying for him to get some right people in there.
Absolutely, because that's been my really only gripe against him. And yeah, you know, sure, I'd like to see things happen faster, but I also understand what kind of obstruction he's dealing with in Washington, D.C. It's amazing to me that he's gotten anything done. You know, so I give him a lot of slack on the, he hasn't fulfilled all his promises. Well, I'm amazed he's done anything. I mean, given what he's been put through. But, you know, it's the whole, my only gripe has been some of the people he's picked. Because I've known that these people are swamp creatures, man. They're not going to do you any good. This is crazy putting them in a position of power. But
right.
Then again, I can disagree from my point of view, but you see, I don't know what Donald Trump's plans are.
Sure.
This guy
sure.
is a billionaire who has operated at the highest levels of business for decades and decades. Well, basically his whole life. Okay?
Right.
So this guy knows how to play the long game. He knows how to make plans. He knows how to do things to throw people off. You know, because in big business, it's like big government. You got to do that. You got a lot at stake, and you got to play the game real serious. And you can't just, okay, knee-jerk reactions are usually always bad, okay?
Right.
No matter what you're dealing with, no matter where you are, a knee-jerk reaction is usually bad. Not always, but usually bad. You know, so planning out these things are really good. And I don't know what his plans are. Maybe he's just making it up as he goes along. I don't know. Okay, but,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah.
I got to figure, given his position that he got to in life, that he's probably not just winging it, okay? He probably really does have a plan. Now, I may end up in the long run disagree with that plan, but it's a plan nevertheless. It's a plan. So I maybe shouldn't even complain about his, you know, he may have appointed some of these swamp creatures just to expose them as who they are. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to say, and that's the deal, you know, and little, he has, while we sit here and try to talk about it, he has so much more access to information we haven't the slightest idea, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot going on. He's got a lot of pressure, but, you know, although I will say this, you know, we have hit a 50-year low in jobs, you know what I mean? Unemployment records. I mean, you know, he's doing a good job. Other than the border, you know, he's doing a really good job, and he's did a lot of things for Christianity. He got rid of that Obama decree about the bathrooms and a few other things. And so I'm really happier with him than I don't know when, actually. Well, maybe when Richard Nixon said no more graft, because that saved me from Vietnam. You know, people
yeah.
ask me, what's your favorite president? Well, it has to be Nixon. I didn't have to go to Nam.
Yeah,
I was getting ready to go, you know, so there's that.
Yeah, in your respect, I would say that would be my favorite president if that was it. But, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a better president. And he is operating under the harshest conditions. I've never seen anything like this in my life in for any president or any elected official for that matter.
It's incredible how this man has the tenacity to stay in there. He has really got he must be a great, super great business guy, because, man, look at all these. It seems like the whole world was against him, and nobody seems to win, you know.
Except him.
Except him.
You know, he keeps getting what he wants. He keeps, at the end of the day, they say, well, that's crazy. Did you hear the lying, stupid, crazy orange man again? Did you hear him? Did you hear him? And then in 2 weeks, oh, so that was true. You know?
Yeah, just like the spying. The Democrats, the Demorats, or Demon Rats, are having a fit right now because Barr came out and said, well, yeah, they were spying on Trump. And, you know, I remember all the hoopla, when Trump said it, I think they're spying on me. Well, he was right again.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole thing, and it happens over and over and over again. And their big deal is, see, they like to make a big deal when somebody says they were spying and act all outraged and everything, and oh my, rah, 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 rah. Well, what they're really about is the word spying, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you were to say they were gathering information, the Democrats wouldn't care, because that's what they want it called, gathering
right.
information. Because, you see, spying is a crime. Just like
right.
with Comey and Hillary, when he said, oh, it was grossly careless.
Yeah.
Well, grossly careless is not a crime. Grossly negligence is a crime. And he was directed by Loretta Lynch mob not to use the word negligent, because that
yeah.
is in the law as a crime.
I really think there's going to be some heads roll because all this stuff is coming out. I think Barr's going to do it. But look, Frank, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm running out of time. So.
All right, if you're going to be
all
that
right.
way.
People, yeah, I want to be that way. But folks, tune in to Frank. He's on the Frank Report, and Frank's Frank about everything. So tune in. All right, folks. pray about Fort and Wichita Mission Church. Really do need your help, and I'm going to ask some of you folks, pray about a Passover donation. Passover's coming on the 19th, and we do need some money for Passover, so pray about a Passover donation. It's biblical to donate to the poor for Passover, as it is with all of the feasts, so pray about it. But, folks, the biggest thing is you really remember that there is only one God. There's no other gods. Who is he? He's your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. That's the only way to salvation, folks, through Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And blessings should start in your home first and go out from there. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're required to do that by the word, and it is praying for Yeshua's return, because there will not be any peace, real peace, until his return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.